You will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host.
Well, welcome to another episode of the Tough Things First podcast. And it's no surprise to our loyal audience that there are a lot of entrepreneurs or entrepreneur wannabes in the crowd, and that's what we're going to talk about today, is entrepreneurship right for you. It's not for everybody, but anyone can be an entrepreneur, providing that they have, you know, the right mindset, some basic skills and whatnot. And Ray Zinn, our perennial star of this show, is Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and probably an icon entrepreneur in the Valley. Hello, Ray. How are you today?
Doing great, Guy. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being here again. My father was kind of like a serial sideline entrepreneur. He started everything from a cattle ranch to a photography studio to a advertising agency. Can't say many of them were profitable, but he had no fear about starting a business. So what really makes people want to start a business? What makes them so different that they're willing to go out there and take those kind of risks?
It varies, again, from person to person and situation. Now, my father was a cattle rancher and not very successful, but you know, he provided a living for his family and a lot of difficulties and so forth that came along, which is classic with being your own boss, as you would. But you know, he stuck with it. I mean, no matter what problem came up, he seemed to have a good solution. So it's a, you know, being an entrepreneur is kind of a wannabe thing. You know, some people, you know, like I've been talking to a fellow who's going into dentistry, and he wants to join his father in his dental practice and then ultimately take over the practice himself. And so whether you work for somebody else or whether you are working for yourself, being an entrepreneur is pretty much an individual thing. So whether you're a housewife or you're an executive or an employee of a company, you can still be an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs, you know, create, innovate, and then they negotiate. And you do that when you go look for a job. You know, you create an opportunity, and then you innovate in how you're going to do that to get that job, and then you negotiate your salary. So create, innovate, and negotiate is really what entrepreneurs do. So I think to run a business as opposed to being an entrepreneur is what we really want to focus on, because we're all entrepreneurs, whether we're in high school or whether we're in college or whether we're digging a ditch, as they say, or just retired like I am. You know, you're still an entrepreneur. Now, as far as running a company as an entrepreneur, that's really the focus of today's discussion. And I think the key to being a good entrepreneur, or at least a successful one, is your passion. In other words, you have a passion for what you're doing. You know, what, you know, you can't hardly wait to get up in the morning and tackle the day as you would. And so, you know, and the ability to and desire to do the tough things first, as we talk about in my book, Tough Things First. You know, you just can't wait to solve problems. I mean, you know, you like to fix things. I mean, if you're a fix-it person, then you're more likely to be a good entrepreneur.
You know, I'm so glad that you phrased employment as entrepreneurship. I've always kind of viewed that an employee is basically a one-person business, mm-hmm. and you're providing a service to whoever your employer is. Back in a previous career, back when I was a mainframe guru, I always did what you said. I woke up every morning. I was wondering what problem I was going to solve, a technical problem, granted, but how that was going to excite my customer, my employer, and thus make him, make the employer want to keep me on and increase my salary and hand me stock options and all those wonderful side effects of being a one-man show, so to speak. In terms of starting a business, though, a bit more complicated, a bit more expansive, why should people start a business, and maybe why should they avoid it? What are the positives and negatives that are either going to make people say that, yeah, that's a great idea, or that's something that I should never consider doing?
Some people think if they get enough education that they can be a successful entrepreneur. You look at Bill Gates, who wasn't even a college graduate, did quite well as an entrepreneur. So it doesn't mean that getting an education is not useful or beneficial, but it's not the end all. In other words, you have to have, you know, at first glance, you know, you have to have the desire and the passion to do it. I know that there are a lot of people who have PhDs in business that, you know, aren't as good as somebody like a Bill Gates who has no education in that area or very little. So education in and of itself is not going to make you a good entrepreneur. Now, it can help you become a better entrepreneur, but it isn't, you know, the guarantee that just because you have a master's degree or a college degree in business that you're going to be a successful entrepreneur. So I know that now many universities offer a degree in business management entrepreneurship. In other words, that's a combination. Your emphasis is rather than being marketing or accounting or something else, your emphasis is being an entrepreneur because you're learning what the various component parts are in starting and running a business. In Zen Starter, which is one of the programs we have here in Tough Things First, it's at several universities around the country, is to help fund these kids, these students while they're still in school and learning how to run a little business. So we provide some seed money for them to start their little business and see how they do. So that'd be one way is to find out if you got the moxie to do it, is to get involved with a school that has a program like Zen Starter, and then start your business and see how it goes. If you do well, that means maybe you have that tendency to be a good entrepreneur. If you didn't do so good, maybe you're not really cut out for that sort of thing. But I think Zen Starter has been a very good program. So, you know, Guy, why don't you talk a little bit about Zen Starter?
You know, I'm personally excited about Zen Starter and on multiple different levels. College entrepreneurs face one of the most difficult tasks that I know of, and that's how to get over that initial speed bump. They may have the idea. They may have actually done some coding. They may have, you know, a very, very rough prototype, but they don't have the resources to move to the next level, which is becoming market and business ready. And so Zen Starter, your program, is filling in so many blanks on that. It's getting a little pocket money into their teams so that they can finish the prototyping. They can become or create a viable product. But they're also getting mentoring, and that's an intrinsic part of the Zen Starter program, is that every team gets mentored by an experienced executive and thus can shave all the rough corners off of their business plan, off of their go-to-market strategy, off of their product itself. And thus the probability of success out of the gate is much higher. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the proof points, we see this a lot at Virginia Tech, which was Zen Starter's first campus, is that so many of the Zen Starter students move on to regional funding competitions, and the success rate that they're getting at those competitions is astounding because they are ready. The Zen Starter program got them to that level of readiness so that regular venture capitalist perk up, take notice, and give them the next round.
Exactly. In fact, I was talking to a female student on Monday who had been started with ZenStarter. This was at San Jose State. Because of their ZenStarter program, they got their product to a point where they now could launch it into a GoFundMe or some other means, Kickstart, to really get them going, even when they graduate. So it really has been benefit. The kids love it. I mean, they, you know, because we've introduced and started in so many universities, those schools have grown dramatically in the entrepreneur program, because the kids get excited when they get a chance to really start a business while they're still in school.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the side effects, and you and I haven't discussed this very much, but it's ZenStarter helps students believe in themselves. And I think that's very, very intrinsic to being successful. If you don't believe in yourself, you're never going to put in the extra effort to complete the project, to put the polish on the product, et cetera. And I think one of the places we're seeing this most is West Virginia University. You know, for anyone who has watched the news over the last couple of decades, you know that the economic situation in West Virginia is borders between bad and dire, depending on where you are. And West Virginia University is very much trying to create an entrepreneurial mindset. And what we've seen there is that the student entrepreneurs begin to believe in themselves at an incredibly higher level than they might have without ZenStarter. And because of that, it may actually be transformative to their regions. People are going to say, why can't we all start businesses? Why can't we reach out beyond coal and do something different for a living?
You know, if they want to learn more about ZenStarter, they can go on toughthingsfirst.com website and learn about it, and then find out which universities actually have a ZenStarter program, and see what that does. So, you know, I mean, by the way, you don't have to be a person actually in university that has a ZenStarter program. You can find out what kind of program they have that's similar to ZenStarter. You can go to your advisor and say, do you have a program like ZenStarter? You know, or you know, which they do. Almost every school has some program similar. It just happens that ours, ZenStarter, is one that we run and that we have at several universities. If that's something you'd like to look at, go on our website, toughthingsfirst.com, and look at the ZenStarter program. It'll at least tell you the format that we use for our entrepreneur program.
Yeah, and there are even universities that don't have entrepreneurships programs, but they're in a region where there are regional university entrepreneurship bake-offs where you can go and pitch your company and your product idea and whatnot, and they are open to pretty much any full-time student who's in a college in that region. So to students who may be listening, if your campus does not have an entrepreneurship program or a ZenStarter-like program, fire up Google. You're probably going to find something in your region mm-hmm. where you can drive an hour and go compete. For these same student entrepreneurs, or for that matter, anyone who's thinking about starting a business, what are some of the fundamental skills that they should have? I mean, I went to business school, so I had, the full battery on accounting and marketing and all that stuff, but that would be overkill for the average person who wants to start a business. But what are the fundamental things that they do have to have in their arsenal before they go and get their business license?
Well, there's four basic classes that I encourage that all the entrepreneur students to have. The first is economics. Second is business law. Third is accounting. And the fourth is financial and managerial accounting. Economics, people understand, that's pretty obvious. One that's maybe not so clear is the one on financial managerial accounting, which is really understanding and reading balance sheets and income statements. That's a very important one. See, you got to understand cash flow and how the funding of the company all works together. And so, again, business law, accounting, economics, and financial and managerial accounting are the four, I think, basic core courses that you need to have if you're going to start off being an entrepreneur. And almost every community throughout the world has those kinds of classes available. So whether you're an electrical engineer graduate or a psychology graduate or whatever, if you want to be an entrepreneur, go back and take some evening classes, extension classes that include those four core courses: economics, accounting, business law, and financial managerial accounting.
And you can find those at community colleges. Some high schools, you know, in more rural areas offer those kind of extension classes. And I think even the Service Corps of Retired Executives, they used to have kind of a business startup boot camp where you could get a lot of those basics as well. One last thing I would like you to do. There are people listening to this podcast today, and they're thinking about starting a business. What would you, person to person, say to them in terms of what's been holding them back? What should, you know, they know about the business life and starting their own business that's going to give them that motivation to push forward?
Well, if you have a fear of flying or a fear of swimming or a fear of being in enclosed spaces or some other phobia like that, don't do it. Don't start. Don't try to be an entrepreneur. If you have a fear of starting your business and being on your own, then don't do it, because that phobia, you know, and we all have phobias. Every person has some phobia, whether some kind of eating things they like and don't like, or whether they don't want to jump out of an airplane and a parachute or whatever. If you're not really, if you don't enthusiastically want to have your own company, don't do it. The other thing I might mention, Guy, is that when you start your business, make sure you have enough money in your reservoir in your bank to be able to run your company for 3 years. Because that's usually the break point, is most business fail within the first 3 years. So don't spend all your time looking and raising money. Make sure you have enough money to take you to profitability over 3 years. So, you know, that's the key. The key is getting to profitability within 3 years, or don't start the business.
Well, and you said in Tough Things First, no one has ever gone out of business with cash in the bank, because cash is king. Well, anyway, thanks again, Ray. I'm really hopeful for the world in terms of things like Zen Starter, which are encouraging people to start businesses, because it really is businesses and serving needs out in the world that create a vibrant economy, that create, you know, growth and opportunity for everyone. And I'm just tickled that you are imparting your life's wisdom, skills, educations, and insights through your book, through Zen Starter, and other means, and giving people intellectual leg up. Mm-hmm. And for people in the audience who have not, you've got to get a copy of Tough Things First. I've read a number of management leadership books over the years. This is the one that needs to be on everyone's reading list, because it really does both give you the inspiration, but a lot of the nuts and the bolts about how to lead and how to manage and how to do so frugally, effectively, and always with that bottom line profitability in mind. And also, let me ask you to rate and review the Tough Things First podcast while you're sitting at your podcast device on iTunes, Google, Stitcher, whatever your podcast source of choice is. It's those ratings and reviews that let your friends and neighbors know that this podcast is worth listening to. So thank you again, Ray, for your wisdom, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Well, thank you, guys. Well, it's been a pleasure to be with you. You're always a great host for these Tough Things First podcasts.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.